It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Perhaps the most contentious element of the Affordable Care Act is the requirement that most private health insurance plans provide contraceptive coverage and services for women. Since the implementation of the ACA contraceptive coverage requirement in 2012, over 200 corporations have filed lawsuits claiming that their religious beliefs are being violated. The lawsuits brought by nonprofits have worked their way through the federal courts, and this week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for Zubik versus Burwell, a consolidated case for 7 legal challenges brought by nonprofit corporations. The case is named for David Zubik, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Pittsburgh, the lead plaintiff. Joining me now by phone to talk about the arguments heard by the High Court and the possible outcome in this case is Wilson Hune, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Constitutional Law at the University of Akron. Wilson Hune, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thank you so very much for having me on.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Wilson Hune, the Supreme Court this week heard oral arguments pitting faith-based groups' rights to follow religious tenets against a woman's right to access free birth control. How would you assess how it played out?
Well, the oral argument is ambiguous. The 4 liberals on the court sided with the government. We can be pretty sure that 3 of the conservatives, Roberts, Alito, and Thomas, will vote for the faith-based organizations that don't wish to provide birth control coverage to their employees. And Justice Kennedy made remarks that could be interpreted as going both ways. The likely outcome, I suppose, would be that Justice Kennedy votes with the conservative justices. It would be a 4-4 tie. And the decisions in the circuit courts below would be automatically affirmed, giving a victory in those cases to the government.
So let's look back at those cases. The plaintiffs say that the ACA contraception mandate violates the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So what about this argument and what it addresses?
Well, Paul, as you correctly stated, all of this started with the adoption of the Affordable Care Act and the regulations adopted under it. The Affordable Care Act actually says that all employees and all people buying plans that are approved under the Act have to provide preventative care, preventative health care. And it was the Health and Human Services Department that said, well, contraception is a kind of preventative care. And the reason that the law wants to require insurance companies to pay for preventative care, really 100%, no co-pays for the policyholders, the reason for that is that preventative care is what makes us healthier as a nation, which lowers the cost of healthcare generally and makes healthcare really more affordable for everybody. So it wasn't originally a contraception mandate. It was a preventative healthcare mandate. But once we require this, once people have a legal right to free preventative care or free contraception, that does bring them into conflict with faith-based organizations that don't wish to provide that kind of care.
And this is a situation where, going back to this Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the court used that law as the basis for a ruling a couple of years ago that exempted devout owners of closely held for-profit businesses from having to provide birth control coverage to employees. And so if there's a tie, would it revert back to this decision?
No, that case won't play any role in the event of a tie. In the event of a tie vote, the decisions that matter are the ones in the circuit courts, that is, the lower federal courts that led up to this lawsuit. And in those 7 different cases that were brought and decided by the circuit courts, the government won every time. The government prevailed in the sense that the birth control mandate was upheld, and these organizations don't have to provide the coverage themselves. What's at stake in this case is, do the organizations have to fill out a form that says that they are opting out of providing the health, the birth control mandate, in which case their insurance companies have to step up, or third-party administrators have to step up and provide this coverage at no cost to the policyholders. The faith-based organizations are objecting to the opt-out process. They say even making us fill out the form advances the opportunity for people to get birth control coverage, makes us complicit in what in behavior that we regard as sinful, and violates our rights under the Religious Restoration Act. So if there's a 4-4 tie, the decisions of the circuit courts will prevail, and all of the decisions on appeal were in favor of the birth control mandate, saying that the opt-out procedure is constitutional. Now, Paul, there is one other case in the Eighth Circuit out west that said that the opt-out procedure was in violation of their religious liberty rights, that the opt-out procedure was invalid and that you couldn't make them fill out this form. And that decision, although it's not on appeal, in effect, that decision will be affirmed as well. So we're going to have two different rules. And in the 7 states of the Eighth Circuit, faith-based organizations do not have to fill out that form, and their employees won't get this coverage. But in the remaining states that where these laws are on appeal, the government will prevail, and the employees will be entitled to get this coverage from the health insurance companies.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to Dan in Cranberry with a question. Hi, Dan. You're on with Wilson Hune.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Actually, my name is James.
My
question is regarding the idea that the birth control coverage is free, because my understanding is, aside from the fact that employees work hard to earn their health care coverage, do they not also subsidize this type of coverage with their health care premiums and their co-pays when they get birth control pills and the like?
James, stay on the line, and we'll start first with Wilson Hune. Can you address that?
Sure. James, the economics of this are very interesting. Many forms of health care, as you know, are very expensive, and insurance companies are always trying to tell us, well, this drug isn't in the formulary. I ran into that recently, or this procedure isn't going to be approved because it isn't necessary. But with birth control, James, the insurance companies are happy to pay for it, and a moment's reflection would tell you why. The medical expenses are going to be much lower if they provide birth control coverage than if they don't. And if people go without birth control coverage, obviously there's going to be a lot more medical expenses that will be covered by insurance that the insurance company is going to have to pay for. So the reason that you don't have a big battle over economics in this case is because the insurance companies, if given the choice, are going to cover the birth control coverage.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, then.
All right, James. Well, thank you for the question. We appreciate it. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation. And you can also reach us via email at esspgh@wesa.fm. That's esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number, 412-246-2002, to join the conversation with our guest, Wilson Hune, who is a distinguished professor emeritus of constitutional law at the University of Akron. Wilson Hune, Bishop Zubik says the issue in this case is about more than birth control, and the ruling could affect many faiths. So my question to you is this merely a Catholic issue? Plaintiffs are arguing, or in this case, the plaintiff, Bishop Zubik, is saying it's not merely a Catholic issue.
No, there are many faiths that object to birth control, and in particular to certain forms of birth control. For example, in the Hobby Lobby case, 4 of the methods of birth control were objected to because it was felt that they were very similar to abortion. People disagree. There's opinions on both sides about that. But obviously, if someone believes that a certain form of birth control is abortion, then Mormons and many evangelical Christians would feel themselves on the same side of this battle.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Greg in Allison Park. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling first with a question or an awareness about church teaching that Pope Paul VI set up a committee which recommended a change in church teaching. He chose not to go along with that. The number of people who no longer confess using birth control is a sign of the number of people who no longer consider that sinful. So I don't know how that plays into the mix. And secondly, the question of 8 members of the Supreme Court. If they vote equal 4-4, we need to have a hearing and have another Supreme Court justice as soon as possible.
Well, stay on the line. There are a lot of people who would agree with you about that, Greg. Stay on the line. Let's talk about your comment regarding the teaching of the church on birth control. Wilson Yoon, what if anything can you say about that?
Well, in terms of a person's rights under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, Paul, it isn't the church teaching that is controlling. It is the person or the organization's personal beliefs. So if they have a religious objection to birth control or abortion or different forms of assisted reproduction, for example, then they can object to providing insurance coverage for that medical service, and that case will be considered under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, whether there is a official religious institution that takes that position or not. So yes, a person can draw inspiration from the teachings of their religious institution, but they can also draw inspiration from the Bible or from their personal relationship with God. And there are many different beliefs within Catholicism, within Protestantism, within Judaism, and it depends upon the sincerely held beliefs of the individual in the lawsuit. Their rights are protected under the First Amendment, regardless of the church organization, or, you know, in some cases, some religions, there really isn't a central organization. Those people's religious rights are respected just as much. So a change in church doctrine won't necessarily affect the lawsuits. It really depends on personal belief.
And now, Greg, I'll let you react to that if you'd like.
Well, I'd like to hear then what justification the lower courts have used to support the government's position.
Well, the initial burden is on the plaintiffs, that is, the persons seeking exemption under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and they must claim that the law imposes a substantial burden on their religion. And remember, what we're talking about here is not requiring these organizations to provide coverage. We are talking about whether or not these organizations can be required to fill out a form opting out of providing coverage. So the initial issue is whether or not filling out that form imposes a substantial burden on that person or that organization's religion. Another aspect of this is that churches and their integrated organizations are not required to fill out that form. They're not required to provide the coverage. The plaintiffs in these cases are independent, religiously motivated organizations that are not using a church's health insurance policy, that have their own independent insurance policies.
Greg, hopefully that answers your questions and concerns, and we'll circle back to the whole discussion of, you know, waiting to add a 9th judge. But let's go now to Sandy in Sewickley, who has a comment. Hi, Sandy. Welcome.
Hi. My comment is, or question is birth control is used for other things other than preventing pregnancy. Sometimes it's used to help you get pregnant. And there's other reasons why, without going into details, why doctors sometimes put women on birth control. Are the employees of these organizations excluded from that also because it is birth control? And does that mean that they're supposed to suffer through their problems or possibly not even be able to get pregnant?
Well,
good,
I can tell you from a legal standpoint, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act would play no role there because I really sincerely doubt that any employer would have an objection to using a drug for other medical purposes. And in any event, under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, a person's sincerely held religious belief will prevail only if the government does not have a compelling governmental interest in providing the coverage. And it would seem that if a person's health was at stake or the ability to have a child was at stake, very clearly in that kind of case, the policyholder would have to have rights that override the rights of the employer. We're really talking about a situation where you're comparing the legal rights of employees against the legal rights of the employers. And there's always going to be a balancing test. And in the hypothetical that you have suggested, it seems pretty clear that the normal medical needs of an individual would have to outweigh the rights of the organization, because the organization doesn't have any religious freedom rights at stake in the hypothetical you suggested. It's a much tougher case when you've got religious liberty against the legal right to receive this coverage.
And Sandy, we thank you for that call. And to Sandy's point, when you talk about it, she raises a very important issue here, which is that birth control is used for a variety of things, including health concerns that a woman might have. I mean, the employer can't possibly ascertain what is in the employee's mind, what their intention is. So it would seem that perhaps there's a basis for a legal argument there that says there's a privacy issue, that someone should not have to divulge the reason that they are seeking birth control, for example, based on the fact that there are a variety of aspects that this could be used for, that they have the right to pursue that, do they not?
True, but when a physician prescribes this kind of medication as well as any other kind of medication, they have to show that it is covered by the insurance policy, and the insurance company is going to ask, is this for birth control purposes or is this for other medical purposes? It's going to come out of one pocket or another, depending on the doctor's answer. I don't think that the doctor disclosing this information to the insurance company would be a violation of privacy or a violation of HIPAA. That occurs all the time. There's no reason for the employer to know one way or the other. However, obviously, some of these medications are going to be used for other medical purposes, and that would have to be approved by the insurance company.
All right, we're down to just about a minute or so. So I wanted to get back to, before we wrap up, Wilson Hune, the issue of, you know, you talked earlier about whether there would be there could conceivably be a split among the eight remaining justices in the wake of the death of Antonin Scalia. There was discussion this week that they might wait to hear this case until they had a ninth judge. But apparently they decided to go ahead. Can you talk about what went into that decision?
Well, they decided to go ahead with oral argument at this point, and from everything that appeared at oral argument, they do seem determined to decide this case on the merits. But, you know, Paul, the Supreme Court has a history of these situations of suddenly finding a reason to send this case back for a rehearing on one ground or another when they don't have a clear majority. So we'll all see what the Supreme Court decides to do in the end. It's also possible that Kennedy could join the four liberals and affirm the decisions below, making it a 5-3 decision. But I guess we'll all find out sometime in the next couple of months.
So despite all of the activity this week, it could be reheard, the case?
Well, yes, if it gets sent back down below and they ask the courts to consider one question or another again, then the case could come back to the Supreme Court at some point in the future when they have nine justices and they could reach a clear result.
Wilson Hune, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Constitutional Law at the University of Akron. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much and have a great day.
Coming up, Robert Morris hockey star Zach Lynch makes a play for the pros. We'll talk with him next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.